So I'd like to label my message this morning, Wonderful Counselor. And it comes from Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. In fact, in kids' church, they're actually memorizing these verses for this few weeks. And we're now in a season where we can listen to Christmas music without feeling shame or without feeling guilt. Amen. By the way, I'm one of those people that I listen to Christmas music all throughout the year because good music is good music. So it doesn't matter if you have to wait till, you know, after the day after Thanksgiving or a couple days or whatever the case is. But we're in a season where we don't have to feel any guilt. Also, we're also in a season where we can even watch Christmas movies, the holiday classics. I believe that this movie I'm about to name is the greatest Christmas movie of all time. And I don't care if you don't agree. It's not really up for debate. I believe it's actually in the Bible. It's somewhere in there. And the movie I'm talking about is Home Alone. Yes, absolutely. Home Alone is indeed the greatest Christmas movie. You can actually put Home Alone 1 and 2, just combine them together, because it's that good. I love Home Alone because it's about this boy. In the movie, his name is Kevin McAllister, but his real government name is Macaulay Culkin. By the way, there are other sequels and stuff that do not have Macaulay Culkin in it, and they don't count. Okay? It has to have Macaulay Culkin in it in order for it to be Home Alone. With that said, I love Home Alone because it reminds me of Advent. It reminds me of the Advent season. The season of preparation of the arrival of a notable person, namely the coming of Christ in glory. This is a time of joyful expectation that leads to Christmas when followers of Jesus celebrate his first appearance, God in human flesh. In the movie, Kevin McAllister, after being drawn away from his family for a period of time during the holiday season, they went on this little vacation. He was left home alone, and it left this time of he was away from his family. And he begins to patiently wait for his family to come back home. It is a time of waiting and watching. And if you watch the film, even adventure. In a similar way, we are waiting and anticipation of a family member as well. The one who adopted us into his multi-ethnic family, Jesus, as we celebrate and wait on his coming. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be in this sermon series, and it's called Power in the Name, because there's different dimensions to Jesus. We're going to hear about how he's a mighty God, how he's powerful in all of his ways. We're also going to hear about how he's the everlasting Father. That's a concept that may not necessarily get talked about a lot. And we're also going to talk about how he's the Prince of Peace. But today, we're going to talk about how he is the Wonderful Counselor. And my question for you is simply this. Do you trust Jesus enough to give you guidance in your life? Do you trust him enough for him to be your consultant of some sort? I believe you can, because Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor that we can bank our hope and we can bank our trust in. And today, we're going to see two reasons why you should trust Jesus as he gives direction in your life as you patiently wait. The first reason is because he is wonderful. Because he is wonderful. The prophet Isaiah states this very plainly, that there's a child that will be born to God's people and a son that will be given to God's people. Keep in mind that Isaiah is this prophet. A prophet is somebody that goes and basically says truthful things that God gives him. They're literal mouthpieces of God. And Isaiah is prophesying 800 years or so before this child is actually born. This emphasizes that this child would be born naturally, but a son that would be given supernaturally. A child born of human parentage, but a son given from the Lord. This person will have the ability to bear the weight of the government upon his shoulders, revealing that he has all power, all authority, all glory, and he comes from a royal lineage. He comes from a kingly line, and one of his names starts with Wonderful. In the original language, the Old Testament was written in Hebrew, and it's a word that means extraordinary. A word that means awesome. A word that means to marvel at. In fact, in this time, some of the Hebrews of this time, they had this word to describe something that was not able to comprehend in words. It was hard to understand. It was so extraordinary. It was so great. It was so awesome that they couldn't even explain it. This also has the ability to work supernatural signs. Wonderful. A word that we probably think about and talk about from time to time. Wonderful. Something that is marvelous and glorious. 13 times this word is mentioned in the Old Testament. On the screen here, I'm just going to pick a couple that talks about this idea of wonderful. Exodus 15:11 says, "Who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, majestic in holiness, awesome in glorious deeds, doing," there's the word, "wonders." This is the book of Exodus, right? So we see that God is the one that delivers and rescues his people from the bondage of slavery. And after they come from that, they break out into song. They break out into worship. They break out into praise because of what God has done on their behalf. And this is what they say. Obviously, there's nobody like our God because of his glorious deeds and him doing wonders. Psalm 77:11 says, "I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, I will remember," there's the word, "your wonders of old." Remembering is a spiritual discipline that in the Christian life that we must do because we tend to forget. We tend to not think about and forget about the ways that God has showed up and showed out in our lives. That's why I love communion, because we remember ultimately what God has done in Christ Jesus to redeem and save people to himself. We're remembering the wonders of old. Psalm 78:12, "In the sight of their fathers, he performed wonders in the land of Egypt, in the fields of Zoan." Next week, Pastor Ramon is going to talk more about the mighty God and his powerful hand and all of that. But here's just a quick preview of how God works his wonders, even out of the land of Egypt. And of course, Isaiah 25:1, "O Lord, you are my God. I will exalt you. I will praise your name, for you have done," there it is, "wonderful things." Plans form of old, faithful, and sure. This word wonderful, as we break it down, as you can see, it has a lot to say about the character of God and what he has ultimately done, and we should contemplate about it. We should think about it. We should derive our hope from it, because this is the type of God we serve. One of the things about wonder, we have the privilege of living in Arizona. And a couple years ago, I went to one of the 7 natural wonders of the world. The privilege that we live in Arizona, that we get to go to this place, it's called the Grand Canyon. And I remember going for the first time, and there's so many different hikes and stuff that you can do if you're into doing hikes. As I said before, black folk, we don't hike. Although I heard that there's a small remnant of people that do. But whether you want to hike or whether you want to just go and just see the view, it is an amazing sight to see. If you haven't gone, I definitely encourage you to go. Here's a picture that I took when I went to the Grand Canyon a few years ago with some friends. And I remember snapping this picture, taking a deep, deep breath, and then saying, wow, this is wonderful. This is amazing. I mean, when you're there up in person seeing it, you can't help but to praise and worship God and say, there is a God. It's so hard to even put into words how this can look. The different ridges, all of that. It is a wonderful picture. Regarding the Grand Canyon, former President Theodore Roosevelt says, in the Grand Canyon, Arizona has a natural wonder, which so far as I know is the kind absolutely unparalleled to the rest of the world. There's nothing that compares to this wonderful image. Nothing compares to this wonderful masterpiece. Going back to that question, do you trust Jesus enough to give you guidance in your life? Well, I would say that you can. I mean, remember, he is wonderful. He's so hard to put into words. He's also the God that created the image that I just showed you. So if he can create that, best believe whatever issue, whatever problem, whatever it is that you are going through, he is big enough and powerful enough and wonderful enough to get you through. Amen. He is wonderful, and he's wonderful in his deeds, but you can trust him because he's a counselor. You can trust him because he indeed is a counselor. What does it mean to be a counselor? Let me just say this. I don't think it means, this is not the type of counseling that you get from your friends, from your family members, and those crazy folk on social media. It's not that type of counselor, all right? This is the type of counselor that you can take your worst issues to, your worst problems too, because he has authority in order to be able to fix it. Ultimately, your friends, your family members, all those people, they can't fix your issue. They can't fix your problem. Only the wonderful counselor can. Now, we can help. We can guide and help and direct, but ultimately, it is the wonderful counselor that will fix the issue. Here's what this word means. It has this ability, the skill of giving good advice, making plans, and wise decisions. And if you put these two words together, wonderful and counselor, it literally means a counselor who works wonders. This is the type of God that we serve because, again, he has authority, he has power, he's a counselor, and he works miracles. One commentator says it this way: since God is the source of all miraculous events and his plans are the wisest counsel to follow, God will work in and through this son that Isaiah is talking about to demonstrate his extraordinary wisdom to plan wonderful, miraculous things. This is the type of counselor that we serve, that we worship, that we sing songs about. If you're like me, you probably have many different friends that are counselors to some degree, whether they're enrollment counselors or mental health counselors, or they give legal advice to some degree. I'm sure you probably know some of these types of people. And one of the things that I was talking with one of my friends who is a legal counselor, he was saying that the problem is people don't listen. If they would just listen to me, obey me, because of the authority that I have, the expertise that I have in this field, in this arena, they would just listen, I could really try to help them. And in fact, when they don't listen, that's when the counseling sessions stop. I'm here to tell you that with the wonderful counselor, Jesus, the one that we're waiting for and anticipating for, the counseling sessions don't stop with him. He continues to pursue. He continues to be present. He continues to be there even when you don't listen. And that's good news, because if you're anything like me, sometimes, if we're going to be honest, we don't listen. We don't obey. But God is compassionate. He's merciful. He's loving. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. And he's a counselor that works wonders. A counselor that works miracles. I submit to you that in this season of waiting, in this season of preparation, you can bring your worst problems to this type of counselor that we see in Isaiah, because he works miracles. If you have a problem, if you have an issue, and I would say that we all have a problem, we all have issues, whatever they may be, you can bring your issues and your problems to this person. Jesus is the ultimate problem solver. If you have a problem, you're a perfect candidate to have your problem fixed. But here's the issue. You have to put down your way of doing things, and you have to follow the ways of Jesus. You have to turn away from all that you want to do and follow the one that is amazing, the one that is glorious, the one that is powerful, and the one that ultimately works miracles in your life. Here's a couple different aspects that I think in this holiday season that I want to encourage you, if you fit this boat, if you fit in this category, that you can take your problems to God. I want to talk, one, from loneliness. This is the holiday season for a lot of people. It is great. It's good. It's great. You have your family and whatnot. But for some people, it's not all great. It's not all good. Maybe you lost a parent, you lost a family member. In this holiday season, it's filled with loneliness. Filled with loneliness and filled with depression and filled with anxiety. My encouragement is to say, you can take that to this wonderful counselor. Perhaps you're in a category of relationship issues. On your Facebook status, it just says it's complicated. Maybe you have relationship issues. Maybe it's a marriage. Maybe you're on the verge of divorce, or you're going through divorce, or you have been divorced, or you're going through a major, a tough breakup of some sort. My encouragement is this, that you can take your problem to the wonderful counselor, because he works miracles and he works wonders. Perhaps you're in a category and you're deconstructing your faith right now. You're reevaluating your core beliefs, because maybe the church hasn't been all that it should have been to you. Maybe you have church hurt. Maybe there's been spiritual abuse of some sort, or whatever the case may be. And you're deconstructing. I'll say that there's a good aspect of deconstructing. You should reevaluate your beliefs. But don't let the counselors that are not good for you deconstruct you out of the faith. Don't let the counselors on social media and the counselors that are just trying to take your joy, take your hope away from you. Perhaps you're in that category. My encouragement is this. You can take that problem, your doubts that you have, to the wonderful counselor that works them all out. And maybe, in fact, some of you should doubt your doubts. Maybe you're in a season of waiting for whatever it is. You know what that thing is, and you've been praying and praying and praying, and it still hasn't came through. And you're questioning if God is all-powerful. You're questioning if you should believe in him. You're questioning in his wonderful works. Are they true? My encouragement is this. Keep praying. Keep believing. And here's the part that we don't like. Keep waiting. This season of Advent, it's a waiting season. And sometimes the waiting gets hard, the waiting gets difficult. But as brothers and sisters in Christ, we can wait together. We can patiently wait together and still trust in God in that. Because he is indeed the wonderful counselor. I started off by saying, do you trust Jesus enough to give you guidance, to give you direction, to be your consultant of some sort? I would add, not only can he counsel you in the areas that I mentioned, your deconstruction, your relationship issues, or whatever, you can fill in the blank, but he also can counsel you in your need for a savior. He can counsel you into a relationship with him. We all have problems, and the biggest problem that we have is our sin that we have against a holy and righteous God. And Jesus suffered, died, and rose from the grave. He conquered sin and death, that anybody that believes in him, believes in what he's done, his wonderful deeds, his glorious works, they will be saved. And guess what? That is a miracle. God is still in the business of working miracles by bringing men and women to salvation, deliverance, rescuing, because he indeed is the wonderful counselor. He's wonderful in his birth. He's wonderful in his life and ministry. He's wonderful in his miracles. And he's wonderful even in the resurrection. Because he rose from the dead. Death is defeated if you believe and trust in Christ. And wait for him to come back to restore everything that's been broken. We're all in a season of waiting to some degree. And awaiting is difficult and challenging and hard. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, he would give us the grace to be able to endure to the end. So from this start of this series of Advent, I want us to have hope, to have a confident expectation on what God has said ultimately through his word, and for us to believe in the power of his name. Amen.